Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to jump on in here, and I got some great audio for you in a few minutes, but I'm doing this first dipper. I'm calling it State of the Force. And I'm going to get into that article momentarily, but let me just start by saying this. Yellowhammer News, right here in Alabama, has a piece that came out over the weekend. U.S. House advances the 2025 NDAA with focus on quality of life improvement. If you're not familiar, the NDAA is the National Defense Authorization Act. It's basically the military budget. And so the House passed a budget that the Democrats actually opposed. That should tell you a lot. Now, granted, I guarantee there's going to be times when the Democrats are going to pass something and the Republicans are going to. I mean, it's got woke mixed into it, or it's got green energy mixed into it. Or, who knows? In this particular case, though, you're looking at a bill. The $883 billion NDAA, which passed almost entirely on party line votes. Chuck Schumer has already said he doesn't like it, so it's going to get modified when it gets to the Senate. But the U.S. delegation for the state of Alabama had comments on it. Now, keep in mind, the chairman of House Armed Services is Congressman Mike Rogers of Alabama. So Rogers spoke to it very clearly. He was pleased. He got his NDAA through as the chairman, so that's a big deal. But then Representative Gary Palmer, who's also from the Birmingham area, he says, his quote was, "We must ensure our military is equipped to defend our nation. We must ensure our military is prepared by fully funding nuclear deterrent and eliminating harmful DEI policies that hurt recruitment." Okay, keep in mind, these are the things we're talking about in the NDAA. Bans on DEI. Increases on recruiting. Representative Barry Moore, who serves down in the Enterprise Dothan area, he says, "We must ensure that our service members can care for their families despite Biden's skyrocketing inflation. This legislation prioritizes service members' quality of life and a strong national defense to counter increasing threats to our freedom, while rejecting radical policies like abortion, travel funding, critical race theory, and drag queen story hour on military bases." So what they were doing here was they were saying, all right, we're going to give the troops a raise. We're going to increase the amount being spent on their housing. We're going to do some quality of life things for military spouses. We're going to make sure they have employment opportunities as military spouses that are transitioning in. We're going to do things that are related along the way to, how about doing away with CRT, critical race theory, DEI. We're going to give, this is a proposal that I thought this was, I'll be honest with you, I looked at this and thought, wow, that's maybe a bit extreme, but then maybe it's not. They're all about what? Base pay and where, like $20 an hour for people who want to work fast food in California. Well, they were providing a 19% pay raise to junior enlisted. I mean, think about it. A junior enlisted guy, the same guy who's trained to go take the hill, right? The same one who runs the radar station that brings in the planes, the same one that's, you know, doing the support to keep the beans and bullets flowing to the front lines. The junior enlisted guys make next to nothing. Anyway, 19% pay raise for junior enlisted, 4.5% pay raise for all others. And, you know, additional for mental health. Even had a piece in there that would have assisted Redstone Arsenal. Reverses the Biden administration's decision to cease production of the Standard Missile 3 Block 1B interceptors, whatever that is, at Redstone Arsenal. So we had a lot of good stuff in there. Democrats don't like it. Democrats in the Senate, who still have the slim majority, have already said this thing may be DOA. But we have now passed an NDAA. They will not say The government shutdown is because they wouldn't pass the NDAA in the House. We passed it. We send it to you first this time. All right, so with that being said, they're trying to do things that actually improve quality of life. They're recognizing that some of what you do to recruit people in is you give them something to let them know what life will be like if they take the job. I mean, everybody who hires on to a job wants to know what the pay is, right? Everybody who hires on to a job wants to know if there's any benefits. Do I get health insurance? What's going to happen? Is there a company car? All these things matter. In today's competitive environment, we have to show them that there's a reason to come on in. I believe that a big part of joining the military is because it's the military. A big part of why people join the military is still because they have a sense of mission, a desire for service, and want to be a part of something that pushes them to their limits and takes them into a place where they can be a team with other like-minded individuals. I still believe all that's there. Patriotism still matters. At the same time, you got to take care of the folks when they're there. It's not always going to be about sentiment and patriotism. Sometimes you got to be able to pay the bills too. So that NDAA was a big deal. Big deal. And right now, what we're being told is Democrats ain't going for it. Ain't going to do it. We're not doing that, silly Republicans. Okay, at your peril. Also within that, though, a piece from townhall.com. And maybe Butters can help me with this. The NDAA would automatically register men ages 18 to 26 in the draft, Selective Service. I thought we already did. Maybe this is just getting rid of exceptions, and that may be the thing. Do you know? I don't know.
Is it that it automatically does it, or that you don't have to go register?
Oh, the automatic piece. That's right, because we used to have to go to the post office and fill out the little card and turn it in.
Yeah, I've got two daughters, so that's not exactly something. And I got commissioned in early on, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I were kind of a given. I had an Army scholarship through college. I was already headed that way.
Yeah.
But
so it's been a while since I've worried about what that process is.
I think that's what this is. I think you're right. I read this article, and it does not say what this is doing that's different, but I'm guessing the key word here being automatically registering men. So I'm assuming based upon Social Security information or something like that, they're just saying, you're in. Hey, you appear to be 18. You're in. Okay, that may be it. But that's also in the bill. It says those who favored the measure argued it would help U.S. citizens avoid unnecessary legal issues and curtail taxpayer dollars spent prosecuting cases, meaning chasing down people who didn't go fill out their forms. We haven't used the draft in over 50 years. Why do we still do this? Because we hope we don't ever have to. But the last thing you want to do is try to figure out whether you have people when you need people.
Which, how have they not gone after making it not just males that have to?
Oh, they have. That's been a discussion. But right now, we don't want to be the society that says we're going to be drafting our females. We're not at that point.
But that's confusing. What's the difference? I thought there was no difference. What?
Don't you start what? That. But how do they identify? Okay, that's a great point. Oh, now what happens? Selective service. You know what? I'm going to bet the selective service goes with your birth biology, not your identity biology. What do you think?
Well, I think in some states you can get your birth biology changed, right? So.
Oh, my gosh. What are they going to do? I'm sorry, sir. Your number came up in the draft. I'm not a sir. Don't call me that. My pronouns are she, him, her, 9. 13. I don't know what.
Yeah, that's. Let's just stop war. Why can't we just pass a law that war is illegal? We're done. Right? I mean, isn't it that simple?
You've been drinking Bud Light on the weekend, haven't you? All right. So let me get on to that article and I'll see if I can begin to unpack this thing. Because this article just ticked me off. All right, it's from military.com. By the way, the fact that it's military.com does not mean it's not going to be grossly liberal. Military.com has a piece that came out over the weekend. Headline, you ready for this? Headline, The Army's recruiting problem is male. Well, okay. First of all, I would have to say it's rather intuitive. If the vast preponderance of the U.S. military is already male and you're not meeting your recruiting goals, then you can go ahead and infer that we have a problem getting males in because they're otherwise the majority. Does that make sense? Anyway, the bottom line is this. The article, though, is filled with snark and wokeism, where they try to argue against wokeism and then they spout wokeism as their argument against wokeism. It infuriated me. A decade of declining recruitment numbers for the Army. And by the way, it's not a decade. They so desperately want to go ahead and say, this has been happening for a while. It goes back, you know, to Trump's years. Not really. There was a slight decline in the Trump years. They had to push for some extra bonuses and things to do for recruiting. But the crux of what we're dealing with right now is absolutely in the last 3 to 4 years. Like, overwhelmingly. Do you ever recall hearing the U.S. military saying that it is not meeting mission for recruiting by 20 to 25%? No. Do you recall any time during the Trump years when there was discussion about having the smallest military since pre-World War II? No. We are dealing with a new era right now. So starting off, I will just say this is an apologetic for Biden, this article. That tries to say it's been happening for a long time. It's not just now. It's not just because of woke policies. Sure. I'll tell you what, let me do this. I've got a phone call. Let me take the call real quick before I go to the break so I can not have to have him wait through the break. James from Huntsville, what you got, man?
Hey, Phil, I'd just like to ask, is there an option for them to let 45-year-old men join the service as opposed to 18-year-old girls? Because I'd sign up tomorrow.
Well, I think
to keep my buddy's daughter from going to war.
Well, no, I appreciate that, James. Thank you very much. And I believe, yes, they just raised the enlistment ages, and I believe it may just be in the Air Force first. I'll tell you what. I'll look at that during the break, and I'll tell you what I find.
If I
gotta
join the Air Force, Phil, I'm in. Whatever I gotta do to help.
They got the best chow halls, man. Air Force has got the best chow halls and all the golf courses. I mean, that's the way to go, right there.
You know, whatever I gotta do, but yeah, I don't want my buddy's daughter going.
Good enough. All right, James, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, take us to a break, man. I'll look that up during the break. I know I saw that, and I think I even talked about it on the air a few months ago. But, yeah, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number one, State of the Force. And when I get back, I'm going to unpack this Army's recruiting problem is male. It's got nothing to do with woke policies and lack of leadership. No, no, no. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. I'm on a roll. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right. James from Huntsville called in right before the break and said, can I go in at 45 years old? Maybe. The answer to that is maybe. So I did recall that there had been a change. And yeah, so the Coast Guard raised its maximum enlistment up to 42. The Navy went up to 41. The Army still is cut off at 39, but you can get a waiver up to 45, depending upon your skills and what you bring to the table. But the Air Force and the Space Force have recently agreed to raise their maximum enlistment age to 42. So our brother from Huntsville, you may be out, but you might be able to get a waiver. Just something to think about. Clear indication, though, by the way, that they are working hard. So the article I've got here that kind of sparks some of this for me comes from military.com. Headline: The Army's recruiting problem is male. just male. That's all it is. It's just all you toxically masculine males. Then again, maybe they're not toxically masculine enough. Based on the article, it sounds like there's been a watering down of males. I'm going to go ahead and say that the potential is there for this to be correct if you take into account that perhaps they're the ones beating males down and causing this to be an issue. So I saw earlier this article, and I thought, man, I'm going to post this. So I posted it on my social media, and it got some reaction, and it got some trolls, and it also got blocked by Twitter. Just saying. But here's what I said. I said, libs cry toxic masculinity. They shout hashtag me too. They decry all male Boy Scouts. They have trannies in women's locker rooms. They say gender dysphoria is liberating. They dumb down schools, they water down athletics, and then they blame men for the inability to meet military recruiting. I've been visibility has been limited on my post by Twitter because it violates their rules against hateful conduct. Trying to figure out which word, everybody agrees it's because I said trannies. Trannies in the women's locker room.
Shame on you.
I don't know what I was thinking. I was just feeling a little brash, a little saucy today. But the Army, the article goes on. The Army came up 10,000 soldiers short of its goal of bringing in 65,000 new active duty troops last year. 10,000 short. In 2022, it missed its goal of 60,000 by 15,000 troops. So let me get this straight. They did have a goal of 65,000. They missed it by 10. Previously, they had a goal of getting 60,000. They missed it by 15. They're really not doing that good. They keep changing they keep lowering the bar and still not meeting it. Shortfalls were consistent with the decline in recruiting among men. Okay, the idea you can blame this on men is pretty irritating when you consider what the left is doing to men. Critics have argued the problem is tied to changes in military policy, including nonspecific claims of wokeness. There's some silly nonspecific things about wokeness. Okay. Experts, though, describe broader issues of men becoming less engaged in American society and less likely to enroll and graduate from college, more likely to die by suicide or drug overdoses, and slowly disappearing from the general workforce. My God, it's like the end of the world when you read this article. Men are basically falling apart. That's the way they see it. And I'm going to ask y'all to tell me what you think about all this, but anyway, one psychologist said it really has to do with social change. I think there is an amotivational syndrome. What's an amotivational? Non-motivational meaning? An amotivational syndrome that seems to permeate a lot of young men today. They're just not motivated to do very much. I disagree with this. I think that there's been a change, but when you start doing things like Boy Scouts are now transgenders and girls all mixed into the so-called Boy Scouts, and now they change the name to Scouting USA, and you take out, and you can't have any place for boys. When you tell them that, you know, you can decide how you want to be today and, you know, go ahead and all you soy boys that want to call yourselves girls, you go right ahead because that's okay. Know your own truth. Listen, in the absence of truth, you have nothing but gray. And in the gray, people try to find their way like blind men in the dark. And what we're looking at right now, if anything, is the left is constantly beating up on men and then saying men are the problem. Well, you help make the problem. A smaller army, the article says, is away from home now more than it was during the peak of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I disagree with that. I think there are deployments, certainly, but you're not going to have a patch chart. We call them patch charts. The patch chart where you have the actual patches showing deployments. You're not going to have a patch chart like we had during the height of the war in Afghanistan and Iraq ongoing at the same time. No way. There's no way. The taxing pace of deployments and training is burning out the rank and file. You know what? Here's the bottom line. Give them a mission. Kids don't join the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines so they can sit in the barracks. They don't. And they don't join the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines so they can learn why they are systemically racist for joining the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. And they don't join the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines so they can go shower with transgenders. They don't. Put it back into a place where it makes sense and give them a sense of mission. And train them to be warriors. And I'm going to talk about this more when we get back because, y'all, this is a pet peeve of mine, and I am hot on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on this amazing Monday. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, State of the Force. So let me just keep going on this article. And it, by the way, they spent some time on it, brother. It's got like it's like a 6-page article here. The Army's recruiting problem is male. Came out this weekend on military.com. In the middle of it all, they outline the conservative arguments, and then they immediately poo-poo them, because that's what you do. When you're a liberal, you poo-poo the conservative arguments. Those culture war rallying cries, often used to gin up the Republican base, says the article, no bias here, are similar to tactics wielded against higher education and are moves that may be more effective with men, with some data suggesting that men are skewing more conservative as women are increasingly becoming more liberal. What is this thing saying? How in the world do we get accused of doing something with higher education tactics, culture warrior cries and things?
What are you talking about, like patriotism and you go do cool things and jump out of planes and
dangerous stuff that
we're not supposed to?
Just Butters, don't try to apply your warrior mindset to this particular article. This was a soy boy article written for soy boys to feel better about themselves. They do quote Senator Tom Cotton, who, by the way, himself was a Ranger qualified infantry officer, combat veteran. He says the Biden Pentagon looking for the causes of the recruiting crisis is kind of like O.J. Simpson looking for the real killer.
Nice.
Nicely done. He says the way to turn it around is to focus on its core mission. Keep that in mind. I'm circling that. The core mission. Not using the right pronouns or worrying about things like gender ideology. We want men and women to join the military to defend this country, not go to social justice training seminars. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. The alarming trend, the article says, for men's economic roles and health have also been weaponized in dark, misogynistic corners of the internet, sometimes called the manosphere. The manosphere, which commonly overlaps with far-right communities. Who wrote this crap? Two people named Steve Bannon and Kelsey Baker. Kelsey, I don't know if it's a girl or a dude. So anyway.
Is rightsideradio.org in the manosphere?
I would have to say yes. We are in the manosphere. These communities lament that men have fallen from their traditional place in society. There's no quarter for masculinity in modern... Here's the thing. This article talks down men, talks down the conservative concerns, at the same time turns around and blames men. And I would say that the issue is the fact that the men of society in America are too often told that they are the problem, and therefore it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy in the eyes of the left. See, we told you you were the problem, and look, you proved it. We couldn't get more of you to join. Well, join what? Now, let me just go ahead and say this before I go too much further. I love the U.S. military. I'm sitting here with Butters. He's a career officer himself. We both love the U.S. military. You're not going to talk me out of the rank and file being the greatest in the world. I love the young men and women who put on the uniform and go to hard places to do hard things, who want to be stretched and pulled and told that they're part of something bigger than themselves. I love that. We have a problem of leadership. We have a problem with an overemphasis on things that do not apply to mission. So, story here on Fox News came out in December. Military experts blame Biden's DEI push as the U.S. military enters 2024 with its smallest fighting force in 80 years. Military experts sounded the alarm about the Biden administration's woke policies within the DOD as the U.S. military is poised to be its smallest in 80 years, all while facing emerging global threats. They quote one guy, and I don't know what his street cred is other than he's a former Navy SEAL, which is street cred. He accused the White House of treating U.S. troops like cannon fodder, meaning they don't mean anything to us. We just throw them out there. They're expendable. He goes on to say, part of it's national pride. We had a lot of national pride. We had purpose. I know my generation in the military after 9/11, we had significant purpose. Are you hearing this? Mission and purpose. Mission and purpose. Let it sink in. Mission and purpose. It says, but a lot of men and women in the military don't have a lot of purpose now. That's what we're missing across the board. He said, I think as a nation, but especially in the military, so it's not surprising that morale's at an all-time low. He goes on to say, I think the number one thing I would do is focus on the mission. The mission is protecting our country. I think these woke politics and ideology embedding itself in our military is bad for service. Yeah, so here's the bottom line. I don't know if y'all remember this or not. A guy named David Belavia, Staff Sergeant David Belavia, Silver Star originally in Fallujah, but they did a relook at the events that led to his Silver Star, and it was upgraded, and this is quite the upgrade. Skipped over a couple of levels, and during the Trump administration, it was upgraded to the Medal of Honor. David Belavia, I've got two audio clips there, Butters. I'm going to take clip one here momentarily. But David Belavia received the Medal of Honor from President Trump in June of 2019 for actions during the Battle of Fallujah in 2004. Think about what it takes to recruit young kids these days. Think about what it takes to put the military into a place where it is told the kids that they want to sign up, the 18 to 25-year-olds that are the cream of the crop for the U.S. military. Granted, we have great officers and senior enlisted that are older than that, and they are the backbone of what we're doing, but I'm talking about these young kids who fill the rank and file. You got to give them a reason, a purpose. You got to give them a mission. This audio I'm about to, I would encourage you, look up David Belavia's speech, B-E-L-L-A-V-I-A, David Belavia's speech. It is one of the most dynamic, unapologetic, mission first, let's get the job done, patriotic speeches I have ever heard. In fact, here's the thing. I'll give you a couple of quotes before you play the audio. One part of it went out on TikTok, believe it or not, and went viral. So this video almost made me want to sign up, said one TikTok user. Another one said, I just Googled a recruitment center just off of this. Another one said, single-handedly, this convinced me to enlist in March. Here's the thing. This one video with the things you're about to hear garnered, this article, by the way, came out in June of last year. By that point, this had already garnered 7.9 million views, 13,000 comments, people talking about how just like dynamic it was, saying that why doesn't the Army make recruiting videos like this? It's enough to make one wonder, says the article I've got here in my hands. Why shouldn't the Army give a chunk of its $600 million advertising budget to the people at TikTok who made the video in the first place? Let's start with that audio clip, first one. This is where he's talking about mission and purpose, and then we'll play another one at the end that's going to make you fired up. Go ahead and play, bud.
Combatants bear witness to all aspects of the human condition. It reveals the darkest parts of the human soul while residing side by side with the most exalted characteristics, nobility, honor, valor, and God's grace. Why do American warriors under fire do what men have done since this nation's inception? This is a common thread that connects the militias of Lexington and Concord with the warriors of Fallujah. It is our love of nation, our way of life, and our love by those who we serve with side by side. We defend, we avenge, we sacrifice, we bleed, and we are willing to die for this unique creation, the United States of America.
You can stop it there.
I am complete.
He went on to recite the names of all of his peers and compatriots who had died in Fallujah. And then he went on to say other things that were very similar. This speech was given a month after he got his Medal of Honor at an event. Now, I got clip two now, bud. I want to go ahead and we're going to do this one. So this next piece is the one that came out on TikTok. This one line or one segment about a minute long came out. And it is probably one of the most inspiring things I think I've ever heard. and it defies all of the woke policies. Play it.
They're watching our every move. Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. They may be watching this right now. Our military should not be mistaken for a cable news gabfest show. We don't care what you look like. We don't care who you voted for, who you worship, what you worship, who you love. It doesn't matter if your dad left you millions when he died or if he knew who your father was. We have been honed into a machine of lethal moving parts that you would be wise to avoid if you know what's good for you. We will not be intimidated. We will not back down. We've seen war. We don't want war. But if you want war with the United States of America, there's one thing I can promise you, so help me God. Someone else will raise your sons and daughters.
I'm telling you, man, you tell kids that. You tell them that we'll train you to be a warrior. You tell them that we'll give you a reason to be a part of something bigger than yourself. We'll tell you that the country that you're defending when you wear that uniform is worth it. We'll tell you that men and women went before you who sacrificed so that you could have this day, so that you could be your part of it. You give kids mission and purpose. That's the thing. They're going to want the paycheck. They're going to want the GI Bill. They're going to want the good housing. They're going to want the advancement. They're going to want the skills that can translate to a civilian life later, but they're also going to want mission and purpose. They're going to want to know that if they're a part of something, it's because of something. They're going to want to know that if they sign up on the dotted line, that their country won't abandon them when the day comes that it gets too hard or when they're not woke enough. They're going to want to join and not be told they're systemically racist. They're going to want to join and not be told that by daring to be, I don't know, one skin color over another, they're either an oppressed or an oppressor simply by their birthright. They want to know that when they get in, they're not going to be, I don't know, socio-cultural guinea pigs so that liberals who have the opportunity can just try to reconstruct society by using these kids who signed up to be a part of something that they're not being used for. I say this. Staff Sergeant Dave Belavia, God bless him. He gave that speech, and I would encourage every one of you, show your kids that speech. If you're a teacher, show them that speech in history class, and I guarantee you some of them will go sign up because that's what they want to be a part of. They want to know it's going to be hard, but it'll be worth it. And it's only worth it if they have mission and purpose. Take me to a break, Butters. I got to collect myself. I'm telling you right now, Staff Sergeant David Belavia, check that speech out. We'll come back. We'll wrap this up. I got a bunch of text messages. You guys are jumping in on this one, I can tell already. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, during the breaks, you hear those ads playing? Let me just remind you guys, Right Side Radio, owned by Right Side Media, we are a standalone entity unto ourselves. If you're listening to those ads playing, just know this, that's part of how we sustain our operations. So if you're listening to the show, though, think about this. Maybe you're a Right Side ruffian, you have a business that sells goods or services, and we got an audience filled with tens of thousands of other Right Side ruffians who might much rather buy from one of their own than to buy from somebody else. So if you'd like to advertise your goods or services on Right Side Radio, you don't call the station, you contact us directly. We'd love to have you. Just send us a message. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on the advertising contact tab, send us a message. Lauren from Right Side will be in touch ASAP. She will follow up with you and give you all the scoop on what it would take for you to be an advertiser on Right Side Radio. We would love to have you. Rightsideradio.org. Send us a message. I got a ton of text messages, and I'm going to get them. And if I have to do some after the break, I'll do it then, too, because I owe y'all that. What an audience, man. I'll tell you what. But I'll wrap this whole segment with this. By the way, this is why every once in a while I like having days where I don't have any scheduled guests. I can just take my time unpacking great topics. And this has been one. Story here on Fox News. Came out two weeks ago, thereabouts. Yeah. President Trump vows to fire generals who push wokeness. Says you can't have a woke military. Interesting. I mean, that I hope, you know what? I hope that's not just campaign rhetoric. If there's any president who I believe would get elected to do it, I think it'd be him. Because he just, first of all, he's going to be in the position where he can't run again, so why not? You know? And secondly, I also believe that he truly does love the military and appreciate its capabilities. But he said this. He said, I got to know the real fighting generals. There's not woke in the military. There's woke at the top. He was talking on an interview on Fox. He says, you can't have a woke military. You need people that want to win. They want to win wars. That's what their purpose is. Hear that purpose again. To win wars, not to be woke. He said, but we do have a great military. Basically, what he's saying is it's a leadership issue, and we got to give these young men and women who join our military mission and purpose. Jerry from Decatur said, let me get to my clicker here. Jerry from Decatur said, it seems to me that sending a young man or woman off to military service is like sending the same off to college. You don't know what you're going to get back. That's why recruiting is way down, airborne. Jerry, thanks for your service. Yeah, I think there's a bit of that right now. I will say this. There's a lot about being in the military, Butters and I both can attest, that is formative. You learn, you grow, you mature, you gain life experiences. Those things are real. You gain that as a part of being in. But the other part is what you bring to the table. It's not just what you gain from being there. It's what you bring in with you. And we need good people to join to sort of take back from within the ranks. Does that make sense? We need good people in the ranks, people who care, people who have a love of country, people who have a work ethic. Now, some of that they'll gain while they're there. I get it. Some of that comes with maturity. I get it. But the reality is there's a lot of good kids who have a lot of good character. And we need them to join because we need that kind of character within the ranks. We need the quality at the beginning to grow into the quality that's in seniority. And the only way that happens is if they join. So I still take issue with Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth, who made the most asinine comment I think I've heard in recent years. She said, we don't want what she called legacy, like generational service. I'm one of four generations in a row. The idea that we don't want that, that's exactly what we want. I'll say it over and over again. She said, we don't want that because the last thing we want to do is, in her words, create a warrior caste. We want a warrior caste. We absolutely do. We want a military that is so empowering that the kids watch the previous generation and go, dang, I want to be a part of that. It's a big deal, y'all. All right, I'm going to come back, get a bunch of your text messages, and then move on to number two on the Triple Dipper, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. It goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go any further, real quick, I'm going to take the phone calls and the text messages momentarily, but let me just say this. I got to pause here a second and give you guys something big to think about and something free for listening, by the way. So this is a crazy world, and yet here you are. You're working hard to plan for your future, to stand up for the things you believe in. But what if you found out that in the middle of all that, in the middle of doing all of that, that some of your investments were actually going to things that are absolutely contrary to what you say you believe in? Well, that happens all the time. And maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and the team of PhDs and financial experts at Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors, one of our newest advertisers. And look, I'm talking about financial planning that actually considers who you are and what you believe in as much as what your bottom line is. These are solid local experts. They use biblically responsible investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your return. And they do it, by the way, in a way that has real impact on, yes, your bottom line, but also on the world in which you live. This is what I would call like absolute financial freedom. So here's the free thing. You ready? If you want to know what's in your portfolio right now, you want to double check it and see if I'm right, then go get a free impact report on their website. Go to moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Free impact report. Check it out. Yeah. And by the way, Inspire Advisors, you can find them on our website too. Our sponsors tab on the rightsideradio.org. Just click on their logo. It takes you right to their website. Inspire Advisors. Y'all, this is conservative, godly, balanced financial freedom with Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. I'm going to jump on the phone real quick. Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan, my brother. How you doing?
Very well. You know, you could serve your country on the front line. You could fly the plane. You can steer the ship. But there's also service that is related that supports the troops. And you can work for the government, not actual serve on the front line, but you're also, the motto they have is my son works for the government, is supporting the troops. Now, with that said, it's called the golden handcuffs when you retire, Phil, because I retired from the government. Now that I got Medicare, Phil, I go anywhere I want to go and I pay nothing. Okay? That is such a wonderful thing. That's because of my government taking care of me and me working for my government. And I'll tell you, Phil, my son is 15 years in, service-oriented for this country, for the arsenal. And he's got 5 more to go. He'll be 40. And at this moment, Phil, I don't know if I should be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I might get in trouble. My son's a GS-14.
Nice.
Yeah, that's because, you know why? Because, Phil, just like you and your daddy probably taught you, you're no better than nobody else. You're there to support the troops. You're there not to play around, because it's a very serious thing that these troops are going in, and they need your support, not for you to dilly-dad and play around and do your job.
Absolutely. And you're right, man. We can't do without the GSs, and I appreciate your son. Thank you. Tell him, thank you for his service.
Well, thank you.
All right. See you, bud. Let me get some text messages here because this one generated a bunch. John from Brownsboro just texted in because that was the greatest statement, and I think he's talking about the David Bellavia statement. He said, our military isn't about DEI. It's about DIE. We don't want to go there, but we will not allow murderers to run rampant on our civil societies, and we will happily help others to raise their kids in a comforting environment, meaning that we're going to provide security, I guess, by what he's saying. I got several texts. Let's see. I'll skip that one. He says, not for on the air, and I agree. John C. from Madison says, probably the reason why the Army won't spend any of their budget on an ad like that is because it goes against their woke agenda under this administration. He said, we won't see an ad like that on CNN until they are out of the White House. I would agree. Lisa from Huntsville says, one of my favorites, Rush Limbaugh quotes, the purpose of the military is to kill people and break things. Yes, it is. He said, I want people in the military that know what gender they are and are willing to stand against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I'm so tired of the social engineering of our military. Anyway, you about to say something?
Well, I was just going to, you're talking about recruiting commercials, and I was thinking about Top Gun, yeah. And, obviously as a naval aviator, that holds a special place in my heart. And I was scared to death that all this the political agenda was going to ruin what is an epic story.
With the second version.
With Maverick. The second version, yeah, with Maverick. And I... given all the factors they were playing in, I think they knocked it out of the park.
They did.
But it is it's a group of individuals getting together, accomplishing a goal. And doing some really cool stuff. And for the most part, you can go do that for real.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
for real.
Absolutely.
And
there's nothing natural about flying a plane or jumping out of a plane. There's nothing natural about most of what's in the military, and yet people come out and they're glad to have done something that they wouldn't have done otherwise. That's you're so right. Yeah, and my Top Gun Maverick nailed it.
That was well executed.
Now I'm going to have to go watch it again.
Yeah.
Scott from Russellville says, my son served in the same unit as David Belavi in Fallujah. Well, tell your son thank you for his service. And that was the heat. 2004, I thought I was going to Fallujah. I was in central Baghdad at the time, and we were in a pretty hot area. My battalion was actually tapped for a part of the Fallujah mission. And we did all the train up. We had there's a small town, I forgot the name of it now, right outside of Fallujah, and that became our AO designated. We had all the walkthrough sand tables, you know, the mission prep, and then all of a sudden our part got stood down. Never understood why. But I look back on that battle and think, good Lord.
My buddy from high school, who was basically a brother to me, lost his leg in Fallujah.
Okay.
And I guess about 2 years ago now, he retired as an 05 out of the Marine Corps. Spent the rest of his time with one leg, but just before my first deployment, I remember getting on the phone and I was going to go see him, and he's like, "Nope, don't worry about it. Just go."
Wow.
But he served it out, and
wow,
which I will say, being a one-legged officer gives you, you know, a little more freedom to speak your mind.
Yeah.
So
I am pretty sure that he had the opportunity to speak it many times too. Benji from Hackleberg says it's more like we have a tranny problem rather than a man problem. Or is it I hear it. Thomas Mathen says, I got two. The Courage to Serve bill in the U.S. House is designed to enable, boy, you are voice texting me and it is not working. To enable, I'm having to decipher, illegal military-age migrants a fast oath to permanent resident status if they join up for military service. And he says this is not a good thing. So Freedom to Serve Act became law is one way to immediately solve recruiting shortfalls. Guess you could have Chinese migrants becoming servicemen to defend Taiwan. Just anyway. All right, so just so you know, we have had the opportunity for people to gain their citizenship through service in the military for years. There were several guys in my battalion who were first-generation citizens. Now they have to have come here legally. There's a difference. If they are in a legal status in the United States but are not service members, they have an opportunity to gain their citizenship through military service. But I think you're talking about a whole different deal with illegals. Yeah, I think that'd be a problem. Lee from Decatur says, I went back in at 46 during the surge of 2006. MOS 11 Bravo did 6 active 80 and 86 and been out for 20 years. Thank you for your service, Lee from Decatur, 11B, Queen of Battle. Straight leg infantry. Marshall from Dubai sent me a meme or a picture. Let's see what you got here. Picture of a paratrooper. Oh, no, it's not. Okay, I got you. Picture of a paratrooper in a wheelchair. It says, the Army has fallen short on recruiting goals. Yet again, in the name of diversity, Biden has done away with any and all restrictions. Scout snipers can be blind. Paratroopers can be handicapped. Okay, I got you. Join the Navy, John, the Navy corpsman in Huntsville said, today is the 126th birthday of the Navy Hospital Corps. When I was stationed at a hospital, it was always a big deal. Huge cookout, hot dogs, hamburgers, kegs of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Cheapest brand sold back then. Said it lasted all day so everybody could participate. The CO would MC the cutting of the humongous birthday cake by the oldest and youngest hospital corpsman under their command. June 17th, the most decorated corps in all the U.S. military. Thank you for your service, John, the Navy corpsman. Navy corpsmen are a rare breed, by the way. They join the Navy and serve with the Corps. You know it?
Oh, yeah. Love me some corpsmen. Spend a lot of time.
Cody from Somerville says, war is not the worst of things. The degraded state of mind that nothing is worth fighting for is much worse. Said, I can't remember who coined that one. We're going to have to Google it. Can you Google that? Can you cut and paste that and Google it? See where that quote came from? Because that's a good quote. War is not the worst of things. The degraded state of mind that nothing is worth fighting for is much worse. I'll get a couple more and we'll head to the break and I'll start a new dipper here momentarily. Michael from Huntsville says, okay, I can't read that. But you can imagine some of the sentiments that are coming in the text messages. Ken from Rimlap says, if everyone's thinking the same, someone isn't thinking. That's George Patton. Nice.
Why is it that all of the veterans and former military guys that are sending messages in, we can't repeat on the radio?
Some salty barracks talks coming out in my text messages over here. Tyler from Huntsville said, in my basic unit, we had a guy from Niger, Africa, got his citizenship through the service. There you go. That's cool. Francisco from Huntsville says, if I missed you, if you mentioned it, biological men becoming trans, would they be eligible to get drafted? We don't know. It's a great question, Francisco. We were talking about that earlier, and it's like, hang on a second. What is happening right now? Are they able to change so they can avoid this altogether? Golly, bum. Last two, and I'm done. John C. from Madison says, I remember when the movie Starship Troopers came out, everybody in my unit wanted to be mobile infantry. It would have been a great recruitment movie. I tell you what, though, the book was better. I'm not a big science fiction guy, but the book was actually awesome. The movie, I felt like, was a little bit of 90210 Goes to War, but it was still pretty cool. There was somebody was advising them, because there are parts of it that were just hokey, and there are other parts where you look at it and go, okay, there's a military advisor on the set somewhere. When the guy stood up in the middle of the battle and goes, follow me, I thought, okay, there's an infantry dude somewhere in the advising staff. Mark from Tony says, DEI is going to get our country DOA. Hmm. All right, listen, you guys are an amazing audience. That's a whole dipper. That's why I love doing days once in a while where I can just unpack a topic, because I know you guys are going to help. That's State of the Force. More to come. And by the way, I'm extremely proud of our men and women in uniform. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. I just want to see changes at the top. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're coming right back. The Power Play. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.